Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Ksubos Nun Beis. We are on Nun Aleph Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom of the Amud. We learned in the Mishnah, a husband must provide the ransom payments if his wife is taken captive. So if he is a Yisrael, his promise, his commitment to her includes redeeming her and restoring the marriage, taking her back as a wife. If she's a Kohenes, meaning married to a Kohen, then the commitment is a bit different, because in that case, she cannot go back to him as a wife due to the concern that perhaps the captor interacted with her. So even if it's Be'onis against her will, it makes her usa to her husband, the Kohen, so in that case, he is committing to redeem her and take her back to her parents. Ubekoyhenes, says the Gemara, Ubekoyhenes, ha'adrinach le'medinosach v'chulu. Because in any case, he cannot retake her at that point. Amar Abaye, here comes an interesting shaila. Abaye has a chiddush for us. Almana l'koyen gadol chayav liftoisa. Suppose this woman was an almana, a widow, who could not marry a koyen gadol, but they did it in any case. They were married and she was taken captive. Is he chayav to redeem her? On the one hand, why not? She's his wife. Although it's a forbidden union, but after all, she's his wife. Commitment's there. On the other hand, the whole point is to redeem a wife who's legally your wife, who's involved in a proper marriage. So which way is it? It says Abaye, if she would be an Eishes Yisrael, who's asa to him, going to see soon, another case, a Mamzeres, let's say. In that case, he has no obligation. You know why? The whole point is, I'll redeem you and take you back as a wife. In this case, he can't do that. He cannot possibly fulfill the directive of the Ksuba. The obligation is, redeem and take her back. In this case, it's not relevant. But in the case of the Alman L'Kayin Gadol, think about it. The whole point, the whole obligation here is not to retake her as a wife. We explained that an Eishes Kohen can never go back to her husband in any case. So irrelevant of the specific circumstance, in this case it happens to be she's usa regardless of the fact that she was taken captive because she's an almana, he's a Kohen Gadol. He still has to keep his obligation. He still has to keep his commitment to redeem her. Because by a Kohen, the commitment does not entail retaking as a wife. It never does. So let him at least fulfill that commitment of live daisa, let him redeem her. Amar Abaye, almana l'kayin gadol, chayv liv daisa. If she's an almana, he's a kayin gadol, he must redeem her. Although she's asur to him, shani koyri, but because I can still apply in this case, ube kayenes, that's the lashon of the ksuba, when it's a kayenes, ahadrinach l'medinosech. I'll send you back home, I'll redeem and send you back home. Well, that's what's going to happen here as well. No different than in any other Eishes Kohen. So this commitment, this obligation stands. But a Mamzeres, or a Unesina, she's from the Nesinim, the Givonim, who's also to Israel. If they're taken captive, ain't a chayiv, lefdoise, there's no chayiv, she'ain't any kayreba, v'ay svinach lila into, because in this case I can't apply to her the terminology, the lashon of the Ksuba, I'll redeem and restore you, Vaisvinachli, take you back as a wife, because she's usher to him. So Abaye works with the text, the Lashon HaKsuba. The Lashon by Kohen is simply to redeem and let her go. Well, that's what's happening here as well. The Lashon by the Yisrael is redeem and take her back. Well, in this case, he can't take her back, so he's potter. Rav Amar, he disagrees. He totally disagrees. Sure, an Eishes Kohen, she can't go back to him because she was taken captive. Okay, if that's the impediment, fine. So you still have to redeem her and then send her home. But if there's another impediment, another reason why she can't go back to him, irrespective and unconnected to the story of the Shvia, to the captivity. Rather, due to an external factor, because she's an almana and he's a kohen gadol. In that case, there's no chiyuv to redeem her. You see, Rava looks at a Yisrael and a kohen as one. It's all the same idea. I promise to redeem you and take you back. Well, by a kohen, if the shivya experience doesn't allow you back, okay, fine. I'll let you go back home. I'll ensure that you're safe and sound back home. But in a case where the entire marriage was on shaky footing, the entire marriage did not really allow for interaction between them. She was an almana, he's a kohen gadol. In that case, I never committed to redeeming you. Let's see Rava inside. Rava amar kol she iser shviya goyim lo. Chayiv l'ftoisa. Sure, if the shviya, the being taken captive, that's making you usher on me as a kohen, I have to stick to my commitment, redeem you, and take you back home. Iser davar achar goyim lo. But if the reason why she's usher is because of another factor, she's an almana, I'm a kohen gadol. In that case, einoy chayav l'ftoisa. I have no chiv to redeem her. And Rashi puts it this way. He says, according to Rava, the yeshiva, the commitment by a kohen and by Yisrael, are really one and the same. It's the same idea. I redeem you and take you back. It so happens to be that by the kohen. He's also adding another stipulation. If it so happens to be that you become usher because of the shviya experience, fine. I'm still going to redeem you and allow you back home. Right? But if there's another barrier between them, the fact that she's usher to him, regardless, in that case, there's no commitment between the two. Right? The whole point is, if the shviya made you usher on me, it's not your fault. Okay, really, I want you back, but the experience made you usher. I'll stick to my commitment. But if you were usher on me to begin with, the whole point of redeeming you is to bring you back to me. You were usher to me. So I have no chiv. Leimek et Hanayi, perhaps this question, this machlekes, between Abaye and Rava, will match another machlekes tanoim. Hamader is ishta v'nishpis. He makes a nether. You cannot derive any benefit from me. He tells his wife. V'nishpis, and then she gets captured. She's taken prisoner. Rav Elazar Omer poida v'noisin l'ksubasa. He redeems, number one, and then gives her the ksuba payout. She can't live with him. He made a nether, right? They can't have an interaction. So, Chiddush is, even though they're not really going to live anymore together, but he still has to redeem, and then he can do what he wants. Can divorce her and give her the ksuba. Rabbi Shua Omer, there's no chiv to redeem at this point, because in any case, they cannot stay married. Noisan la ksubasa, he gives the ksuba payout, right? While she's still in captivity. Any point that he doesn't have no chiv to redeem her. Let's continue the brace. Amar ben Nasan, Sha'alti as Sumchas. I asked Sumchas to explain this halacha. K'sha'amar Rabbi Yeshua. This, the Rabbi Yeshua says, Noisan l'ksubasa v'ene poida. He pays out the ksuba, no chiv to redeem her. When is this? K'shidira was speaking that he first made the nether. You cannot interact with me. Ulava seif nishbis. And afterwards, she was taken captive. Oy, or are we speaking even benishpis? First she was taken captive, and then he decided, okay, I want to make a nether, I can't interact with you. In that case, perhaps he was trying to get out of the pidyon. That's why he made the nether. Which way is it? What did Rabbi Shua mean? But Amar Li and Simchas responded to me, I'm not really sure. Lo shemati, I never heard an authoritative interpretation from my, you know, Rebbeim, but v'nirin hadvarim, it seems probable, she dira ulbasef nishbis, first it was the nether, and then she was taken captive. And then Rabbi Shua says, he doesn't have to redeem. Di amris nishbis ulbasef yidira, because if it was the other way, first captive, and then he made the nether, he's going to play games. Asi la rumi. This could be just a way to get out of redeeming her. We don't allow it. That's the price. Okay, how does that pertain to our sugya? So again, we're speaking that he made a neder against his wife, you can't have an offer from me. And then she was taken captive. Rabbi Lezer says you still have to redeem. Rabbi Yeshua says he's potter from pidyon. My love, shall we not assume that we can't be speaking about a conventional case, an Eishes Yisrael, because in that case, why would he have to redeem her, according to Rabbi Lezer? The commitment is, I redeem, I take you back. In this case, I can't take you back. Of course, there's no chiyuv. Oh, so it can't be a regular Eishes Yisrael, my love. Presumably, we're speaking by Mother Eishes Kain. He was a Kain. He made a nether against her. And then she was taken captive. Rabbi Lezer says, look, I know you can't live with her anymore because there is a nether between you. But an Eishes Kain was never meant to be restored to her husband. That's, after all, the standard procedure by every Eishes Kain. You redeem her and send her back home. This case is no different. And that's Abaye's sheet. Abaye and Rabbi Lezer are synonymous. The Rava, but Rava who says that if it's any other factor aside from the Shavia experience making her Asr on him, such as in this case where you have a nether causing the Isr, in that case there is no Chiev to redeem. So he's going like Rabbi Shua. The Rava, Damak Rabbi Shua. So the Machlok is Abaye and Rava. Matches the machlokes Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua, which is a little bit problematic, of course, because then the Amir is disagreeing with the other Tana. It doesn't really work so well. Loi, no, perhaps that's not the pshat in this price. We're not speaking about a typical case of Eishes Kohen who has a nether. No, hacha b'mayaskinen. We're speaking about a very unique case. Kigoyin shenadra ihi. She was the one who made a nether against him. V'kiyam lahu, and he sort of reinforced it. It's in the hands and the ability of the husband, right, to nullify the nether. He decided to keep it, to confirm it. So she initiated, but he confirmed it. V'kiyam lahu. So now the question is, who's the perpetrator? Who's at fault? So let's say we're speaking about a regular Eishes Yisrael, right? Reuben and Rachel. Rachel made a nether. I have nothing to do with you. Reuben confirmed it. And now she was taken captive. Even if he redeems her, he can't take her back. They're not allowed to interact with each other. Question is, who's at fault? Is she at fault? In which case, he doesn't have to step up to the plate and redeem her. Or he's at fault because he confirmed the nether that she made, right? So now, he still has to live up to his obligations and redeem her. That's the shaila. Rabbi Lezer Savar, Rabbi Lezer holds, it's his fault. Hu nasan. It's a saying. Hu nasan etzba ben shineh. It's like he placed his finger between her teeth and she bit it. Meaning he was the one who instigated it. He's at fault. You can't blame her. You're the one that made the nether. You activated the nether. Rabbi Yeshua Savar, no, he... she's at fault. He nas na etzwe mishinea. It's like she put her finger between her teeth and bit it. So she's at fault. And therefore, there's no chi for him to redeem her. Well, he nas na etzwe mishinea. If according to Rabbi Yeshua, she's at fault. Ksuba maya vidita. Rabbi Yeshua says, okay, don't redeem. You don't have to redeem, but you have to give her the ksuba. Ksuba? I have to pay her? She's the one causing all the trouble. She's the one compelling me to divorce, so I don't have to pay a ksuba. That's a kasha. Vesu, another kasha. The price says, Amar Rabbi Nasan, Sha'alti as Sumchas. I queried with Sumchas. Sha'amar Rabbi Yeshua. This that Rabbi Yeshua tells us, Noisen lo ksuba, Savei ne poida. He pays her the ksuba, but doesn't have to redeem her. What is this? What happened? What happened first? What happened second? Right? Kshedira el b'seif nishpis. Was there another and then she was taken captive, or the other way, Obisha Nispis, Mosefidira, first she was taken captive, and then she made a nether. That was his question. Vamali Shemati, he says, I'm not sure, etc. One second. If we are speaking that she was the one who made the neder. She caused the trouble. And according to Rabbi Shua, she's totally at fault. She's the one who made the neder. What difference does it make what happened first, what happened second? She is totally at fault. Mali hidira labasef nishvis. What difference does it make if she made the nether and then she was taken captive, so he's potter? Mali nishbis ulbasef hidira, or she was taken captive and then she made a nether. Bottom line is, why can't he take her back? Because she doesn't want to come back. She made a nether. Of course he's not chayiv. So this pshat in the braisa doesn't work. The point that she initiated the nether, it's not going to work. Ella lo ilam de adra ihu. Oh, let's go back to a more simple approach. He was the one who started the trouble. He made a nether. Don't have enough from me. Okay, then she was taken captive. Question is whether he has to redeem or not. Now, we can have two possible approaches to this brisa. Abaye will learn it his way, and Rava will learn it his way. Abaye mitaretz letameh, he'll interpret the brisa consistent with his view on the sugya. Now we follow the literal wording of the ksuba, as we explained before. V'rava mitaretz letameh, likewise Rava will view the brisa from his lens. And the Gemara explains, Abaye mitaretz letameh, Abaye will take his approach. We have many possible scenarios. Let's go down the list. Almana le kohen gadol. He's a kohen gadol. He married Almana, forbidden union. She was now a shvuya. Does he have to step up and redeem? Yes. Kuliyam le pligid de chayv levdois. According to all shittas, he has to redeem, as we explained before. After all, the chiyuv by the kohen is redeem and send her home. That's exactly what's happening here. It's no different than any other scenario. In any case, a shvuya is usher to the kohen. That's exactly what's happening here. The fact that she was usher before she was taken captive doesn't matter. Redeem and send her home. On the other hand, mamzeres onisin liyisrael. She was usher and married to Yisrael. By Yisrael, the commitment is totally different. I'll redeem and take you back. Well, in this case, I cannot take you back, so I'm potter. All agree there's no chiv opinion. So both these halachas are clear. Likewise, in case number three, Madar Ishas Kohen Nami. He's a Kohen, she's a wife, a regular wife, not almana. But he made a nadir to disengage from her. So now she's usher to him. She was taken captive. Must he redeem? Yes. Mother Ashes Koinami. Kuli Amalai Pligid Chayv Devdais. Levdaisa. Why? Because it's no different than the Amanal Kain Gadol. The Haino Amanal Kain Gadol. Who was usher to him and still he has to redeem her. That's the Kain's commitment to his wife. I redeem you even though you're usher on me. It doesn't matter whether you're usher because of the experience of the Shivya, whether you're usher because I made a nether, whether you're usher because you're an Amanal Kain. It doesn't matter. The Chiv is to redeem, period. In the fourth case, we have the machlekes between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yishu. Ki pligi, when is there a machlekes? But mother Eshes Yisrael. He's a Yisrael. She's an Eshes Yisrael. Perfectly fine until this point. He makes a nether. Disengages from her. They can no longer stay married. Now she's taken captive. Do I have to redeem or not? That's the machlekes tanai. Rabbi Lezer is azal basa miyikara. Rabbi Lezer focuses on the original obligation, the original commitment. When he married her, he said, I'm going to redeem you, right? Redeem you and take you home. At that point, the obligation was activated. It was triggered. It was implemented. So now he has to step up and redeem her. Irrespective of the fact that now he had already made a nether and she can't come back. It doesn't matter. That does not absolve him of his chiyuv to redeem her. Rabbi Shua, Ozel, Basar, Basayv. Rabbi Shua focuses on the present moment. I cannot really take you back. And after all, that's the essence of my commitment. Redeem and take you back. There's another between us. So he's potter. So that's Abaye's approach to the sukkah. Rava mitaretz letameh. Rava has a different approach. Amana l'kayin god. Mamzeres enesin l'Yisrael. Kuli amalei pligidei nechayev l'ftais. Whether he's a kayin god and she's an almana, in which case, the reason why he cannot take her back after redeeming her, it isn't necessarily related to the captivity event. It's related to an event that predated captivity, the marriage. She was an almana, he's a kain gadol. That's Isser Davar Acher, the Gemara called it before. It's a different type of, it's unlinked to the being taken captive. In that case, there was no chiv to redeem you, redeem to take you back home as a wife. You don't belong, my wife. Likewise, mamzeres una sinali Yisrael, where they're also to be married. There again, there's no chiv to redeem, because I can't redeem and restore you as a wife. So again, in these cases, kli amalei pligi de nechayv, levdois, all agree there's no chiv of pidyon. Ki pligi, when is there a machlekes? B'mader, a fellow made a neder to disengage from his wife, and then she becomes a shivuya. And it doesn't matter, bein eishes kain, whether she's married to a kain, bein eishes Yisrael, u bein eishes Yisrael, whether she's married to Yisrael. In both these cases, something happened. There was a switch, there was a shift. Let's break it down, right? In the case of the Ashes Kohen, there was a slight shift. A very slight shift. Initially, he committed, if you're taken captive, I redeem and send you back home. Yeah, I can't take you back, I'm a Kohen, right? But there was a slight shift, because there was a nether applied, which adds another reason why I can't take you back, unrelated to the shivya event. So that really is sufficient grounds to absolve me, to exempt me from the chiyuv pidyon, right? According to Rav's approach on things. So that happened by the Eishes Kohen. And by the Eishes Yisrael, it's a more clear-cut shift. Initially, when he married, he committed to redeem and take her back home as a wife. And now he made a nether, so now that's not feasible. It's a major shift. I cannot really complete that directive. So in both these cases, where there was a shift that occurs, is the chi of pidyon maintained or not? That's the machlekes. Rav Leza azal basim yikar. Rav Leza says, yes, so, because we look at the point of commitment, at the point of marriage. He committed to redeem her. He doesn't become pater from that. Rabbi Shua Azal Basa Basayif. Rabbi Shua looks at the present, current situation. And since things have changed, dynamics have totally shifted, this is no longer the same situation as when I committed. Whether it's by the Eishes Yisrael, because now I can no longer take it back, as I had originally, discussed and committed. Or by the Eishes Kohen, where there's a totally unrelated reason why I can't take her back, because of the nether, that's unrelated to the Shivya event. For these situations, I have no commitment, I have no chiv, no obligation to redeem. Okay, let's just summarize the last piece of Gemara before we continue. So we have Abai's approach, we have Rava's approach. Abai takes the literal approach to things. As long as you're complying with the wording of the ksuba, you're chayv to redeem. And therefore, Abai says, even if it's an almana l'kain gadol, who are not meant to stay married, he still has to redeem, because guess what? Every kain gadol with an ordinary legal wife has the same issue. Once she's taken captive, he'll redeem her, send her back home. This is no different. Oh, mamzeres or nesinali Yisrael. That's an entirely different story, because typically Yisrael commits to redeem and take her back home, which is not applicable in this case, so he's pater. Shinesh is kain, and there's a nether disallowing her return to him. Here as well, says Abaya, he's chayv lufdoisa, send her back home. Mother Eishes Yisrael, oh, that's a tricky case. Typically Yisrael redeems and takes her back. In this case, he can't, so there was a shift. Rav Leza says, he's still chayiv, because his chiv stays. He had a chiv to redeem her, and that goes nowhere. Rabbi Shua says, no, fact is, he no longer has the ability to retake her. That's not what he meant. And therefore, he's potter from pidyon. According to Rava, just as by the Mamzeres Leisrael, there's no Chiv Pidyon because he can't restore her as his wife. Almana L'kan Gadla as well, because there's an Isser preventing her return. An Isser which is unrelated to the captivity issue. So he's Pater. What about in a case where there's a nether between them? He made the nether against her, whether she's an Eshes Kayin or an Eshes Yisrael. So there was a shift in the dynamics. Eshes Kayin is now usher to him because of the nether as well. It's a totally new factor here. Eshes Yisrael would have been mutter to come back to him, but now she can't. Is he chayv to redeem? Reb Lezer says yes. His original commitment sticks. Reb Yishuv says no. We view the current situation as is. Things have switched, things have changed. There's no chiyuv pidyon. Okay, continue on the topic of pidyon. Nishpis, chayv lev daisa. She's taken captive, he has to go provide the ransom. Tanu Rabbanan, nishpis v'chayiv bal. This occurs during his lifetime. And before he got a chance to redeem her, he passed away. V'achkach meis bal. What did the halacha do? The yusayimim have to step up and redeem or not? It depends. Hikar ba bala. The husband was aware of the situation, in which case his chiv kicks in right then. Yarshan chayavan livdoisa. So even if they passes away, his kids have to take over. The chiv is passed over to the kids. And they have to redeem. Lo hikar ba bala. If the husband was not aware of her situation, in which case his chiv wasn't really activated yet, and he passed away, ein yorshin chayvan levdoisa, then the chiv does not get passed on to the yorshin. It's not their obligation. It's a husband's commitment towards his wife. In this case, there was no chiv to be paid. Levi savar, Levi figured lemeavid uvda, to carry out, to apply, to implement the halacha ki hamas nisa. He had a story that came to him, and he figured he's going to follow through exactly as this mishnah, as this brayso. The husband found out. He passed away. We obligate the Yerushim to take over and to provide the ransom. Amalei Rav, so Rav responds to Levi. It's incorrect. Hachi Amar Chavivi. Chavivi was a Lashon referring to his uncle. My uncle Rabbi Chia told us as follows. Leis Hilchasa Kemasnisa. The Halacha does not follow this Braisa. Yerushim are never chayv to redeem their mother. Eloki Hadesanya. Rather, we follow the following Braisa. Nish bislachar Mrs. Bala. If this occurs after the husband's death, ein hayusaymen chayvan of daisa, the yusaymen have no chiyuv to redeem. Not only that, elafil nish bismachayi bala. Even if this occurs during the husband's lifetime, and he finds out about it, and then he passes away, v'achkach meis bala, ein hayusaymen chayvan of daisa. Orphans are not obligated. She'ein ani kairba v'isvinach leinto. Why not? Very simple. How is the obligation spelled out in the Ksuba? I will redeem and take you back as a wife. It's inapplicable by kids. They're not chayv. Tanu Rabbanan. Nishpis. She's taken captive. Vayom avakshin imenu. Adas sora b'dameo. And the kidnappers are demanding an exorbitant amount. 10 times her value. Is he obligated? Yes. First time, yes. Pam rishoyna poida, the first time he has to provide. But if it happens again, he has no chiv at all. Ratza poida. If he wants, he can redeem. Ratza ene poida. Otherwise, he doesn't have to. Hitakan, the obligation, the chiv pidyon, is a one-time event. Rabban Shimon Begamliel Eimer. Ein poidin es ha-shvuyin yesel d'meim. Regardless, we never offer exorbitant ransoms. We don't allow ourselves to be extorted like that. Because it's going to encourage more extortion. Market value, okay, but not more. Oh, habich dey demein poitin. Do you mean that according to Rabban Shimon Gamliel, if they're asking for a reasonable sum, then the husband is obligated? Afagav de berkoina, yisar ksuvasa. You mean even if the amount exceeds the amount which is incorporated into the ksuba commitment, the 200 zuz, the supplemental amount, whatever it is he mechuyev, is he chayv to give more than that? Which is really a And I'm using facts, Rashi says, because, after all, the chiyuv of pidyon is, it's a component of the ksuba commitment, right? So Rashi says you're going to consider the tuffel, the secondary element of the ksuba, the pidyon element, to be greater and more encompassing, more obligating than the actual ksuba itself. It's a little bit, amusing, right? So that's the Gemara's kasha. The ksuba payout is 200, 300, and the ransom is 600. I have to pay that out. How could it be tuffel be more chamer than the ikr? The secondary obligation more chamer than the be higher than the actual primary obligation. V'ramini, we have a kash on that. Nishbis, she was taken captive. V'yum vakshim v'menu adasor b'ksubas, and they were asking him for 10 times the ksuba amount. Palm rishon of poida. Okay, the first time around he has to give. Mikan ve'eloch, but past that time, if it's a recurring situation, he's not obligated. Rotza poida, rotza ene poida. He chooses whether he wants to redeem. That's the Tanakamu. Even if it exceeds the ksuba amount, Rabban Shimon Gamliel Eimer, no. Im haya per koina keneged ksubasa, the ransom is equal to the ksuba payout, poida, then he has to do it. Im la, but if it exceeds ene poida, he doesn't have to. And it would seem from Rabban Shimon Gamliel earlier that he would have to, even if it's more than the ksuba. If it's an exorbitant amount, he doesn't have to, but it doesn't have to match the ksuba amount. The answer is yes. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, Trei Kuli Islay. He holds up two leniencies. The ransom amount, number one, cannot exceed market value. You know how much a person would pay for a maidservant, this type of person in the market. Or, if it exceeds the ksuba payout, he's also not chayv. Mishnah says, just as a person has to feed his wife, he has to attend to her medical needs. Loksa, if she's ill, chayv or poisa, he has to pay for her medical bills. Tan rabbanon, almana nezoinus nichsi yisoyim. A fellow passes away, his almana can tap into the assets of the orphans to support herself. Utsricha refuah, let's say she needs to pay her medical bills. Harayik and mezoinus, we treat it like mezoinus. Why she says, well, they're both meant to sustain a person. Mezoinus and refuah on the same plane. So she's entitled to draw from their nechasim for refuah as well, like mezoinus. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, well, it depends what type of medical situation. Refuah sheyesh lo kitzba, if it's a defined expense. It's an occasional doctor's visit. It has some has a limit to it. It's a reasonable amount. Then nisrapas miksubasa, actually, that acts to her detriment. That is deducted from her ksuba. But she'ein lo kitzpa, if it's an open-ended type of expense, an ongoing expense, harayika mezoinus, we treat it like her sustenance. And just like the kids have to provide for her all the time, without a limit or a cap, this type of open-ended refuah is treated like mezoinus, they have to keep on paying it out. But if it's a defined, specified amount, in that case we treat it like the ksuba, which is a defined amount. It's different than mezoinus, which is an ongoing, need. But if it's a one-time or an occasional need, that's called yesh lo kitzpa. We deduct it from her theoretical ksuba payment, and we don't add it to the ksuba. It's deducted from the ksuba. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, what about bloodletting? In Eretz Yisrael, it was very common. Also, the Chachamim considered Hakasas Dam Eretz Yisrael, bloodletting in Eretz Yisrael, since it was a common occurrence, could refuah she'ein lo kitzpa, like an open-ended, unlimited type of refuah, in which case we treat her like mezoinus, and she's entitled to it on a regular basis. Kreved Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan had these relatives, havalu itas abba, they had the wife of their father, meaning a stepmother, to have a stricha refuah called Yaima. She was in constant need of medical assistance, and it really was a big burden on them. Ha'asul kamed Rabbi Yechanan. So they came to their relative Rabbi Yechanan for advice. Amarlu, he tells them, look, I have an easy solution for you. If you want to cut in these expenses, listen to what you do. Izilu kutzule midil reife. Go to the local doctor and cut a deal with him. We'll give you X amount to take care of our stepmother for the rest of her life. So once it becomes a defined, specified amount, kayitz, ish la kitzva, now it's no longer treated as mezoinis, and now you can just deduct it from the ksuba. Simple solution. Make a lifetime contract with the doctor. Amar Rabbi Yechanan. So Rabbi Yechanan felt bad. He regretted the advice that he gave to his relatives. I was taking sides, so to speak, right? Asinu atzmeinu, we considered ourselves ka'ircha dayanam, like the lawyers who would manipulate the arguments in the Bezdin. I shouldn't have gotten involved. Mi'ikara ma'isavar. So what was Rabbi Yechanan thinking, you know, initially when he did get involved, when he offered that advice? Ulo basayif ma'isavar. And what do you think later, which made him regret what he did? Mi'ikara savar. Initially, he figured, we have a pasuk in Yishaya. Don't ignore your flesh. These are my relatives. I have to help them out. But then, ultimately, he figured, Adam Chashav Shani, a person of high prominence, has to keep to higher standards. People learn from him and conclude that this is something to be done in all cases, even by non-relatives, and you know, manipulate Dinei Torah and take it a step further. We have to be extra careful. Continues the mission. We have a ksuba that has many tanoi, many stipulations. We discuss the chiv to redeem, etc., etc. After he passes away, his daughters will have mezoinas from his nechasim until they marry. Likewise, his almana is supported from the nechasim of the yisurim. Likewise, there's something called ksubas benin dichran, which basically means like this. The dowry that an isha brings into the marriage, where does that go? Upon her death, her husband, upon his death, the kids, divided equally. But there's a concern, because his father-in-law might not want to give his daughter and son-in-law a rich dowry, a generous dowry, for concern that it's going to leave the family. It's going to end up by his set of kids, instead of her set of, let's say they have two sets of kids in the family. To circumvent that concern, Chachama made a takana ksuba as benin dichron, benin sons dichron, zecharim, the boys, that the nedunya material, the dowry material, and the ksuba material, the payment, etc., will end up by her kids. So if she passes away and then the husband passes away, typically the kids divide everything equally, but not the nedunya, the dowry, and the ksuba payments. That is directed to her sons. So it stays in the family, and that encourages her father, way back at the point of marriage, to be generous with his dowry offerings. This also is a tanai best. Now let's say we omit all these things, the ksuba without any of these. It's automatically activated. Let's say he failed to write the following clause, benin dichran, the boys, the yahavi lichiminai, that you'll have from me, this is the husband speaking to the wife, inon yartun kesa ksubaseich, they will get the ksuba payments, yasser, in addition, al chulkeyo and demachin, in addition to the other chelak of the Yerusha that they divide equally with their brothers. So your ksuba stays with your kids. He failed to write that, chayev. He's still obligated. Shut nai bezdin. It's an automatic stipulation established by bezdin. Another example of an omission. Benon nukvan. Dihavan lechiminai. The girls that you will have from me, meaning our daughters, after my passing, yahavan yos from the basi. They can stick around in my home. Umitzam menachasa. And get their mezoinis from my nachasam. Ada tilokchun leguvern. Until they're taken by men. Until they marry. He failed to write it. Chayiv. He's still obligated. Shut nai bezdin. It's an automatic stipulation. Next. At te yosva bebeise, you yourself, after my passing, you will have full access to my home. Umidzir manachasa, you'll have access to my nechasim to support yourself. Kol yimei, as long as megal manusich, the duration of your being an almana until you marry. Bebeise, all this will happen in my home. He didn't write it. He's still chayav. Why should I bezn? Kach hayu anshe Yerushalayim koisvin. This text, this nusach, was what the people of Yerushalayim used to use regarding the almana. Anshei Gol, likewise the people in Gol, Hoy Koisvin Kanshi Yerushalayim would do the same like Yerushalayim. But in Anshei Yehuda, They had a slightly different version. How did they write it? Hayukoisvin. They would write as follows. If you are an almona after my passing, you can access my assets, my estate to support yourself, but there's a limit. There's an expiry date. Ad sheyirtzu hayorshin liten lach ksubasich, until the point where the yorshin decide we'll pay you out the ksuba. Have a nice day. Until then, you could stick around. You have access. You have rights. But once they decide to pay you off, pay you out, it's done. Lefichach, therefore, imrotzo yorshin. If the Yerushin should choose to do so, they can do so. Noisin lak suvasa, they pay the ksuba to the Yalmana, and that's it. Or paitrin oisa, and they let her go. Am Rabbi Yechanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yichai. What's the point of ksubas ben Indichran? Mipnei mahi skinu ksubas ben Indichran. What's the purpose? Answer is, k'dei sheyikbeitz adam, so that a father should be eager to go ahead and be generous. V'yichtev lebitay, and will be willing to commit a generous dowry for his daughter, knowing that it's going to end up in his family. It's going to stay in-house. Kibnoi, just like a Yerusha which goes to your son, this as well will stay in-house, and therefore he'll be generous. But in effect, he's taking materials and properties from his other boys and giving to his daughter. Umi kamidi. Does this make any sense? Rachmana Omar. Torah says, who is entitled to Yerusha? Bralirus, a son is Yerush. Bartaletirus, a daughter is not Yerush. Right? Typically a son inherits, not a daughter. And what happened now? V'asur Rabbanu, Rabbanu come along with Takna, they made a Takana to switch that. That Tiro is Barta. We encourage his father to give tons of stuff to his daughter. That's a misdirection. You're misdirecting your assets from your sons to your daughter. That's not correct. It's not right. Answer is yes. Honami deraisu, this too. This idea of giving a generous dowry is rooted in a pasuk. Tachsiv, I have a pasuk in Yirmiyah. Kchu noshem, take wives. Vayilidu banam abanis, and have your children. And then marry off your children. Uchu libneichem noshem. Take wives for your sons. Marry them off. Ves bnei seichem, tnala noshem. Likewise, your daughters. Marry them off to men. That's the pasuk. Now, bishleim abanim. I understand how it's in his hands to marry his sons off. It's in his hands because Rashi says typically a man looks for a wife. So make sure your sons look for wives. But when it comes to daughters, is it in one's control to get a son-in-law for his daughter? It's not the derech for a girl to look for a boy. So what does the pasuk mean? Ensure husbands for your daughters. How come Ashman? The point of the pasuk is, facilitate it, arrange for it, allow for it, encourage it. Denilbasha v'nichsa, dress her, cover her, give her a dowry. V'nesiv l'amite, give her tons of stuff. Ki yechid ha'kavtzilos, that people are jumping for, and it makes it an attractive deal. V'asu nasvil, now come marry her. Bad kama, until what point is what's considered a reasonable dowry? Abaye, Rama, Damit, Abaye, they both explained, Adli, Isur, Nichsi, up to 10% of your assets. So that's the point of the Ksubas bin Indichran. We want to encourage a father to be generous in his dowry offerings, which will facilitate marriage. So we promise him, look, all these assets, these properties, these materials will stay in-house. Ultimately, even if your daughter passes on, and then her husband passes on, all this goes back to her family, to her set of sons. So the dowry and the ksuba payments as well, all that ends up with her sons. Ve'ema, here comes Akasha. Why don't we say, da'av leiris, sure, her sons will inherit the dowry received from her father, but de'bal leiris, but not what comes from her husband, right? She passed away. Her husband is Yerush everything. In the dunya, he is Yerush the ksuba payments as well, which she was entitled to. Now the husband gets it. When he passes away, all that goes to her sons. The ksuba payment, which comes from her husband, it's unrelated to her father. It has nothing to do with a dowry, nothing to do with encouraging him to be generous with his dowry offerings. What does that do with that? Answer is, that's the way people think. If you don't give, I'm not going to give. Imkain, because if the concept would not apply to the husband's monies as well, now that too goes over to her kids upon his passing. Avnami, the father as well, at the point of marriage, he'll refrain from being generous, from committing a generous dowry. If you're willing to allow your payments, your ksuba payments, to go over to the grandsons of mine, I'll also be generous as well. That's what people think. Just mindset. Asks the Gemara a bunch of questions on the ksuba aspenindich. Veima, perhaps, hecha the kasavav. Yeah. If in fact the father was generous and he committed, so then, then we say that the husband's, you know, payments as well will go to the wife's boys. So it's tit for tat, right? But echad loikas of av, suppose there was no father involved, and he wasn't, there was no dowry given, we should cancel the entire arrangement. Loikhtav baal, then the father, the husband as well, should not have this commitment that his ksuba payment should go to her children. The whole point was to encourage the father, and that's not applicable. Loiplug rabban, rabban did not want to divide between this case and that, and differentiate. We keep it consistent throughout. And therefore, even when there's no father or no dowry, we still maintain ksubas ben indichran. Asks the Gemara, bas ben abonim nami tiris. Let's say this wife, right, passed away. Then her husband passed away. And she left behind a daughter, her daughter, versus, you know, his sons. She should be entitled to the ksubas ben indichran. Why is it specific to boys? She has no son. She only has a daughter. We want the stuff to stay in the family. So Bas, who's Bein Abonim amongst brothers, Namitiris. She should also be entitled. Answer is, Kenachla Shavyur Abon. Rabbanan did not create a new creature here. It conforms, it's meant to follow, to a certain extent, it's meant to model a concept of the concept of inheritance of Yerusha. So her dowry is inherited by her sons. Instead of, you know, being divided equally amongst all, it goes to her sons, but it still is following in line with the concept of Yerusha, and that applies to only a son. But if you have a daughter amongst sons, there's no Yerusha to the daughter, so it's not applicable. Okay, well then, Bas Ben Abonis Tiris, let's say she has her own daughter, and there are other daughters around, but there are no sons. Typically, when there are just girls, they divide in chasm equally. A girl can't take instead of the boy, but a girl amongst girls, divided equally. So in this case, why can't the girl get ksubas ben indichran if there are only girls around? Loiplug rabbanan, once again, we don't want to differentiate. We want to make it clear and consistent. It only applies to a boy, which in that case, typically, it conforms to din yerusha. V'tigbi metatli. Ksubas ben indichran. What can you collect it from? Halacha is only from absolute assets, you know, real estate. Why not metatalin? The whole point is we want the father to be encouraged to facilitate the marriage and be generous with the dowry. So what difference does it make if you're allowing him to collect metatalin or karka? Answer is k'ksuba shavir abanan. Fact is it's an element, it's a component of the k'suba commitment, and just like k'suba is only collected from karka. That's a typical shibut. You collect your claims from absolute guaranteed assets. So here as well, we treat it as such. It only works from karka. Titroif mimashabdi. Okay, well, if it's like ksuba, we know that an isha can collect her ksuba payments from tied up assets that are tied up and have been sold by her husband. She has a stronger claim than them. So ksuba's bin indichen should be something that which allows you access to properties that were tied up. And the Gemara later says it doesn't work. Answer is, Yarsin Tznan. The Lashon HaMishnah, the Lashon the Ksuba is Yerusha. We treat it like a Yerusha. And a Yerusha, well, you can't access assets which are tied up to collect your Yerusha. So you treat it to a certain extent like a Yerusha. So it sort of has many disadvantages. We treat it like a Yerusha, and we treat it like a Ksuba. It's a very restricted type of arrangement. Asks the Gemara one more kasha. Ve'ema afagav de leka moisar dinar. We're going to learn later on in the Masechta that, you know, ksubas bin dichron, after all, is only a takanas chazal. It's Tana D'Rabbanan. We don't want it to negate and to contravene the concept of inheritance, of Yerusha. We don't want to take the place of Yerusha. So if there's enough to go around, there's a Moisar dinar, there's at least one dinar extra, aside from the, you know, Ksubas Bnin Dichra material. So that extra dinar allows for the regular Yerusha to be implemented. So once Yerusha is activated, for that dinar, we allow the rest of the assets to be accessed and allocated as per the Ksubas Bnin Dichra, which is Takanas Chazal, Takanas D'Rabbanan. Why is that necessary? Why do we need a Moisar dinar? So actually the case there is we have two sets of kids. A fellow married two wives, and each wife has her own set of kids. So halacha is that when he passes away, each set of kids wants their mother's, you know, dowry. We have to ensure that there's at least one dinar on top of all the dowries, which allows for a proper Yerusha to be implemented, and then we can allocate the rest of the stuff based on the Takanas Chachamim of Ksuvas Bnei Dichron. The question is, why is that necessary? After all, we said that the Ksuvas Bnei Dichron is treated like Yerusha. Answer is, B'makam Nekama Akro Nachlo Dairaisa Lo Tekin Rabbanon. The Ksuvas Bnei Dichron will preempt, will substitute, will replace the Yerusha Dairaisa. The Chachamim did not apply in that case. It can't come instead of the Dinat Torah of Yerusha. So if Ksuvas Bnei Dichron will encompass everything that's here, that doesn't work. You need at least something that can be addressed and be allocated using the regular Yerusha formula, and then the rest of the stuff you will allocate as per Ksubas Bnei Dichron. Here comes a story. Rapapa, Iasikli Lebrei, he was involved with a shidduch for his son. He was marrying him off with a family of Abba Surah. Azil Mechtav Laksubasa. So Rapapa went over there to arrange for the Ksuba to be written. Shama Yehuda Bamarema. So Yehuda Bamarema heard that Rapapa was coming. Nafak, he went out. Also, he came as Chazile. He came and he greeted him. Kimo to Lepischa. They're walking along. When they got to the entranceway of Abba Surah, Havakam Iftar Mine. So Yehuda Bamarema was suddenly taking leave of Rapapa. Amarle, Rapapa tells him, Neil Mar Ba'adai, why don't you come with me? Keep me company there. It's a happy time. Come join. Chazi de Lava Nichle. He notices that Yehuda Bar Meremer is hesitating. Amalei my daitach, why are you hesitating? What's wrong with coming in to arrange the ksuba and the dowry? My daitach, what are you thinking? Oh, I can guess. Mishum da Amalei Shmuel. Shmuel told Lerab Yehuda, his Talmud Rabbi Yehuda was very sharp. Shinana, he used to call him sharp one. Be careful, like Tehavi. Don't ever be involved as an aide, as a dayan. Don't officiate ba'avur yach santa when there is transferring of inheritance. Ideally, a person should not tinker with the Torah-established formula of inheritance. Don't be involved in transferring funds and manipulating inheritance. Afilu mibra bisha. Even if the father is trying to take away the assets from a misbehaving son and giving it over to the good son, lebra tava, don't do that. You never know. Dlayadia. A person can never know. Mai zara nafek minei. What type of good children may come out of the troublesome son. Don't get involved in transferring assets, etc. Vekoshke mibrola brat. Of course, a person's involved in taking away from his son and giving to his daughter. Don't get involved in that. That's what Shmuel tells Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Papa tells Yehuda Bar Meremer, is that what you're thinking? You don't want to come join us with this ksuba making because you know there's a nedunya involved and that involves transferring assets from a person's sons to his daughter who's getting married. Is that why you're hesitating? There's no concern here. Let's remember, Hai nami takanta de rabbanani. This is a takanas chazal. We spoke about it before. The Amar Rabbi Eichanan. We learn from a pasuk. A dowry is a very worthwhile endeavor. Amar Lei, so Yehuda tells him, okay, yeah, sure. Generally, it's fine. Hane mili midati. That's when he's doing it willingly. La asuya nami, but to force him, to compel him? Amar Lei, so Rapapa says, who's compelling? Who's forcing? There's no pressure here. Atu mika amina lach. Did I mean to tell you, do'il va'asi, to come in and force the father-in-law to be generous? Oil, come in, v'loy sa'asi, kamina. Come in and don't exert any pressure. That's all I meant. Just be a sound observer. Amalei Yehuda responded, "My Lady, my entry, my presence creates such a pressure. It sets the bar. It creates high expectations. Hainu Asiya, this is like pressuring the father-in-law because he'll have to impress me with his commitments. I don't want to be there and force that upon him." Rav Papa didn't accept it. Akfai, he forced him, and he went in with him. Ishtik. So Yehuda's sitting there in silence. Didn't want to get involved. Stayed on the side quietly. Did not want to create any impression of involvement and pressurization. Ishtik v'yosef, he was sitting quietly. Savar, so what happened was, Abur Sarah misunderstood his silence. He figured, Savar, hu mirtach rotach, he must be mad at me. They're not offering enough dowry. Kosfer l'kolma dahavale. So he wrote away everything that he owned to the last penny. L'soif, after this was done, Armalei, he turns to Yehuda. Now why are you upset at me? Hashta nami, loy mishtoy mar? Even now you're not speaking to me? What's going on? Chayi demar. He made a shvua. Life of the master of the chacham. I promise. I left nothing for myself. What do you want from me? Amalei, so Yehuda responded, just the opposite. If you would have requested my advice, even all this that you have already committed, I would not have consented. I don't go for this whole thing. I wasn't trying to pressure you, just the opposite. I was keeping my silence. I was just minding my own business. Amalei, so Abba Sarah, upon hearing this, responds, okay, if this is unacceptable, hashto name hadami, so now I can just go back and be chayzer on my commitment. Amalei says, no, that you can't do. Commitment is a commitment. Shavi nafshach hadrana, to make yourself a chayzer, to go back on your word? Loi kamina, that's not what I had in mind. That's not what I mean. Once you've committed, mazal tov. Shah tov metzlach. Okay, let's quickly recap today's daf. One commits to redeem his wife. By a kohen, redeem and send you home. By Yisrael, redeem and restore you as a wife. We have Abaye, we have Rava. Abaye says, Aman l'kohen God, even though she's really usher to him, it doesn't matter because after all the commitment is to redeem and send you back home. No difference in this case. Rava says, no. Since she was usher to him before she was taken captive, this is a totally different type of case. There's no commitment of pidyon in this case. Only the husband has to be paida. It's a one-time thing. As opposed to the yisoyimim who don't have to. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, it's only if it's equal to the ksuba amount and also equal to market value. Just as he has to feed his wife, he has to provide for her medical needs. If it's a defined amount, then it could be deducted from the ksuba. We're speaking as an almana, it could be deducted from the ksuba. But otherwise, if it's an open-ended type of thing, has it a mezainis? We had the story of Yechanan, who regretted, Adam Chashev has to be extra careful and keep the higher standards. We have three tanoim that are standard in a ksuba. A daughter is fed after her father's passing, alamana as well. We discuss ksuba spinidichon. The point is to facilitate marriage. We want to encourage the father to be generous, to give the nedunya, and therefore we allow the nedunya and the ksuba payments to stay in the family, stay with her son. It only applies to a son. He can only draw from karka which is not tied up, and only when it's not going to replace or substitute for the regular yerusha procedure. All the best to you and hatzlacha rabbah.